Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The zone, perfect swing down, a magical swing, a magnificent result with the bat flip. That's one that Mr. Bodie will never ever forget.
Oh man alive, pinch hit, walk off grand slam.
Happy anniversary.
I wasn't going to sing because you guys tell me with a delay, there's always that off time. But it was one of the.
I'm sorry.
It was one of the best regular season games in any sport that I've been to. It actually wasn't a great game. It was a good pitching performance early on. I believe it was Scherzer against Cole Hamels. But the Cubs could not get anything going, and they trailed 3-0 2 years ago on Sunday Night Baseball to the Washington Nationals. And David Bodie then homered a grand slam to win it with two outs in the ninth inning. It was simply, I hugged the guy in front of me who I hadn't talked to a second during that game. Remember, Waddle was making fun of me for that. I twirled my wife. My wife went with me to the game, and it was just for eight innings. It was one of those performances where you were pissed about the Cubs' offense. Where is it disappearing to? To one of the most joyous. It's like just what you dream about as a kid. Down three, bases loaded, walk-off slam.
Nowadays, I just dream about hugging strangers whenever that'll happen again.
I believe someday. You said that was better bubble. Than your wedding night, didn't you? You said that was better than your wedding night?
Well, again, now I put into context that while my wedding night was great, my wedding night in my book is one of the most overpriced nights of my life. So because it was so overpriced for a one-night party, I can't rationalize spending that much money on a one-night celebration. I was against it from the beginning. And I was just, but she wanted to make it happen, and I wanted to make that night really important for her. I think it's important that night, but I think there were, like, our night of engagement to me is a bigger, it's not slamming my marriage. All it's saying is that one night, I could bring up many more nights where I didn't have the sticker shock. And was it like, I had a good wedding. I thought my wedding was good. Mallor, would you agree? My wedding was pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was a very enjoyable wedding.
But it wasn't worth the price.
Not as enjoyable as hugging a stranger.
Interesting, because like I know mine was, I think a lot of people have a, you know, unless you're kind of like pulling the, you know, the getaway wedding where you kind of like just invite a few people, it's always going to be expensive. I divorce the price, though.
Can you use divorce when talking about a wedding night?
You might want to, You might want to use a different word when talking about your wedding.
I separate. Can I use separate, or is that the same
thing? That's good.
Legal separation?
I separate the, I separate the cost of the wedding day and experience with the actual experience.
I don't think you can ever do that. You go to a game, okay, and you pay $1,000 for the best seats you ever had, and the game sucked and the weather wasn't good, you're always thinking about the price. If it was a great game, then you're like, okay, worth it. But, and I'm not saying that it wasn't a good party, but I think whenever you pay an exorbitant amount, like, think about, when do we ever pay that much money in one night? You could buy a car easily, for a good car, for what the cost of a wedding went for.
It's easily the most money I've spent in a day.
One day.
Yeah. I mean, you don't spend it all technically. You know what I mean, though. Like, everything is for that one day.
And we got married at Gibson, so I'm eating steak and lamb chops, and I'm saying, this is a damn good lamb chop. Is it worth this much money? This is a good damn shrimp. Is it worth this amount of money? And I had an unbelievable time at my wedding. And meeting my wife is higher. Getting engaged to my wife is higher on the power rankings. And maybe spinning my wife at the David Bodie walk-off game is a higher night.
It never fails to sound dirty. Whether you
it does. I can't win. You mean that? I thought you meant whenever
just your description of the David Bodie celebration.
Yeah, I picked her up. I've done that to her at two sporting events where you pick her up and you spin her. Again, I know that sounds weird. How can I phrase it? Where I picked her up and how do you phrase that?
Rotated her?
That sounds weird.
Yes, I know.
You did like a spin hug.
Yes, it was like out of a scene out of a movie.
Yeah, you're not dirty dancing her, but it's a spin hug.
Oh, if you could have pulled off the Ryan Gosling and Crazy Stupid Love.
I mean, Dirty Dancing.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Can you name the other sporting event in which I've twirled / spun my wife?
Well, it wasn't the World Series win because you did that to me.
Was it? No, I didn't. I didn't never picked you up. That's not true. I did hug you, though.
You did, yes.
I hugged you and Zetterman, and then I shook hands with Carmen, I believe.
Another event that you spun.
It was another Cubs game that I was at. That was spin-worthy, and my wife was next to me.
The
playoff game?
Well, we know your wife wasn't born for the Ryan Sandberg game.
Oh, it was the NLCS one?
Waddle would have appreciated that.
Which NLCS one?
Oh, which NLCS one?
It wasn't the clincher that sent him to the World Series?
I wasn't there.
Okay.
At game six, I was here. So I spun Ben Brust.
A lot of spinning going on. Weird.
No, I didn't. I didn't pick
Was it that series?
It had to be against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It was against the Dodgers. Okay. Think about earlier in that series.
Was Kyle Hendricks, was it his first win? Did he win game?
No. Think about what happened in game one.
Was there a walk-off win?
Close. It wasn't a walk-off win.
Was it game one?
It was Miggy Montero's grand slam.
Oh, okay.
I think they came back. The Cubs had a lead. I was pissed again. It was another moment when I was pissed. Go figure. Like against the Nats, I was pissed the Cubs had zero. This game one, the Cubs had a lead for most of the game, and the Dodgers fought back. Didn't they tie the game up at four or something like that? It was like 3-3 or 4-4, and the Cubs had a rally, and then two outs happened, and Miggy came to the plate and hit a home run. I think it was an 0-2 count then. It was your guy pitching too, Meller, because I was texting you about it. Because you were telling me that I should be worried. Joe, what's his name, who pitched for the Dodgers
Kelly?
At the time.
Was it Joe Kelly?
No, not Joe Kelly.
Joe.
Little chubby. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Who gave up the grand slam? Grand slams, wow, to Miggy.
Joe.
So only two events when I've spun my wife.
Joe Blanton.
There you go.
I would not be telling you to be worried about Joe Blanton.
You were telling me. I sent you and I told you so. Worried about Joe Blanton.
No. You know what happened? I remember. Now, here's another thing I vaguely remember. When he was moved to the bullpen after being like kind of like a mediocre. He started out his career as a decent starter. Then he quickly kind of, like, you know, turned into a barely fourth or fifth starter. He moved to the bullpen where I think his stuff played up, and he kind of became a shutdown reliever for a short period of time. So that's probably what was happening during that time period.
Yeah. So the two grand slams and the one is the two-year anniversary today. Someone sent me a really cool breakdown. I'd never seen it. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know who made it, if it was a Cubs thing. There was a 10-minute breakdown of... It was Hayward, it was Almora, it was Bodie, it was Joe Maddon, where they all break down that ninth inning and as to what happened. Because I don't know if you remember, the pitcher, Madsen, was a right-hander. So Joe could have gone with Ian Happ, the lefty with the bases loaded, but he elected to use Happ, who's a good left-handed hitter, switch hitter, a better lefty, to pinch run at first. And Joe explains why he elected to go righty-righty. And Bodie explains what went into that at bat, what he was looking for. And it was just one of those just unbelievable moments as a fan where this happens and you're like, wow. That's why we love sports.
This is going to be like the Samberg game, isn't it? We're going to be doing this for years.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bodie walk off. Well, you know what though? Kind of in a similar fashion, it was a Sunday night baseball game.
Yeah,
which is part of the reason
it was a nationally televised game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And listen, like you have that factors in because that's one of those few moments where ESPN then goes like rolls right into SportsCenter, and then all next day they're talking on a lot of the, you know, the ESPN programming, like First Take, or I don't know, like was Get Up around in 2018.
I'm not talking baseball on First Take.
No, but honestly, when you have
on any of the shows,
one of the few times they do is when you have a walk-off.
Right. Bodie's being interviewed on Van Powell.
Yes, a pinch hit walk-off grand slam on Sunday Night Baseball is one of the few times where the next morning they will be talking about baseball.
Yeah. It's one. Look, there are many games, not many, but there are regular season games that you will always remember and you file away. Like I've compared these before to whether it's the Bears comeback in Arizona, and there were a ton of Bears fans who were there that witnessed it personally. Whether it was the two back-to-back, you guys know me and Mike Brown, the two back-to-back Mike Brown interception walk-off wins against San Francisco and Cleveland. The Burley, you know, no-hitter or perfect game. Mm-hmm. There are games that you go to that are so Dwayne Wise makes that catch. Like, if you were there, you will never, ever, ever, ever forget something that you were there, and you will always remember being there, or even watching as a fan, and the Bodie game is up there for me.
You know what? You bring that up, and it just reminded me, Sylvie, for me, I was at Game 1 when the White Sox won in 2005 against the Astros. I was there at that game, but I had actually, in some ways, like a better feeling. Remember Game 163, the blackout, when they played the Twins?
Yeah, sure.
That was, I don't remember, was it 08 maybe? I think it was 08, 2008, a couple years later. And even though they won the World Series, it was Game 1 of the World Series, so they took the lead. For me, though, like the because it was win or go home against the Twins to see if they made the playoffs, that game in some ways was more memorable for me, and because there were a few key plays where, you know, I believe Jim Thome hit a home run, and then Ken Griffey
it was the only run of the game. It was 1-0,
Ken,
right?
Ken Griffey threw out, I'm trying to remember,
a runner at the plate.
Exactly,
right?
And so the crowd was just crazy.
And John Danks pitched his best game in a White Sox uniform.
Yes, so for me, like, you're right, because I was at that game and the crowd was crazy and everybody was wearing black, it, for me, was more memorable in some ways than their win against the Astros in Game 1 of the World Series in 05.
Will anybody admit that they've been to a game that was better than their wedding, or at least more worth the price of admission?
Well, you want to hear a THC moment. And while you guys were talking about your games, I was like, I don't think I've ever been at a game that's been super memorable like that. And then I went, oh, wait a minute, I saw the Cubs win the World Series.
Well, right, but that, of course, goes into it. You know what I mean?
I was in Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, of course. Oops. That's different. But, like, this was an August game where it's just, you'll remember the Bodie game. You could say to another Cubs fan, hey, do you remember the Bodie game?
You're talking about a game where you're like, you're going in, you're like, I'm going to the Cubs game.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Like Game 7 of the World Series, you know, you might see something pretty crazy.
I'm going to it's a Sunday night baseball game. I'm going with my wife. I'm like, cool, we're going to a Sunday night game. I get to drink a lot. It's fun. I love going to Wrigley. And you leave there saying, holy, you know what? Mm-hmm. I can't believe what I just saw. That's what I'm talking about. 332-3776. Football later this hour, but I do want to get to the poll question about if you've got the 2016 feeling if you're a Cubs fan. Chuck Garfine's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Sox win today. They've won a couple in a row. Anything you want to talk about, 332-3776. And have you ever spun your wife?
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The way I phrased it on Twitter, and then I'll get to the poll question, is, you know, in the wake of the Bodie game, and there's many of these with all of our teams, which regular season game that you attended Or even if it's a playoff game, like the Hawks, they were just talking about this the other day on one of the playoff games. That Nashville Predators game in 2010 I was at the United Center, when Hossa came out of the box and they won it in overtime after serving a five-minute major. That was a first-round game against Nashville the year they won the Cup.
Of course.
I knew it was awesome to go to a playoff game, but never did I think that, hey, tonight I could be attending one of the most memorable games I've ever been at of any sport. And like that, in a lot of ways, was more memorable to me than some of the Cup games I've gotten to go to.
You know, what's funny about that is I was a groomsman in a wedding during that Hawks Predators game because it was a Saturday afternoon,
right?
And like three of the people in the wedding, the groomsmen in the wedding, were like they're like some of my closest friends who are huge hockey fans. So it like the actual ceremony, we were in between like. Like when everybody was sitting down and the ceremony was...
No, the ceremony was going on during this?
So it wasn't going on yet. What was happening was we were kind of like mulling around, waiting to go to the front with the groom while like, but we had like people were taking their seats and my buddy, that was 2010.
Right.
So like iPhones weren't like prevalent yet. So we were like, everyone had a smartphone, but we were watching on like probably like an ESPN Gamecast type feature. And we were watching the Hawks on my buddy's, phone, like just trying to get updates. And it was like, oh crap, the Hawks are going to lose because all of a sudden we're like, they're shorthanded, they're down. And then all of a sudden we couldn't even comprehend what was happening because all of a sudden, we were like, oh no, they scored shorthanded. They're tied.
Right.
And it was like, we couldn't believe it, but we couldn't watch either because we were like about to start the ceremony.
It was like with 13 seconds left, right?
Yeah.
Did Kane score?
Well, I don't remember because we were trying to follow on a phone and it was 2010. So.
And then I think Hossa came out of the box and he scored.
Yes.
In overtime, it was my buddy Perry sprained his ankle in that game, jumping up and down. So and then the poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Visit your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer today. Javi drives a Toyota, and this is a Cub fan related. Cubs fans, do you have that 2016 feeling? Yes or no? And this is a little nuanced because they're 11-3. It's one of the best starts in history, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. Maybe you don't believe in them as much because of the bullpen, and maybe you just don't. Maybe you're not valuing it as much, or are you watching all these games? Maybe it means more to you, and just watching them every night is. And I'm not saying that this, if they do go far this year, it will mean as much as 2016. But that feeling of watching a team, knowing, hey, I could be watching something special. This could be a special team, and right now, guys. 51.5% of the vote says no, they don't have that 2016 feeling. 48.5% say yes, and maybe it's pandemic-related, bullpen-related, 332-3776. Waddles out, Abdallah and Meller are here. John in Oswego wants to weigh in on the topic when we were talking about the Bodie game. John, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, thanks, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, so this is a little bit of a setup, but my dad and I have gone on baseball trips ever since my parents were divorced. So it's been 29 years now, and over the course of all the games we've gone to and all the stadiums we've seen, we started to just document and wanted to think about, you know, great things in baseball that we might see and kind of bucket list type items. So 7 years ago, this is after my dad got remarried, and I'm married now with a kid, so now we're starting to take other people on these trips. We were in Cincinnati, and we were staying downtown at an old hotel. And my son was 3 years old, and he was asthmatic, and his asthma was kicking up. And, you know, we were thinking that it was because of the old hotel. So we ended up leaving a day earlier, and we caught one Reds game. But the game that we missed that we were driving back to Chicago for, we're listening on the radio, and Homer Bailey pitched a no-hitter that game. We had to miss the no-hitter because we were driving back home.
I mean,
it was a game that could have been.
But you're a Cubs fan, though, right? I mean, like, was it that big of a deal that you got to see, that you didn't get to see the no-hitter?
Well, just as a baseball fan, it was something that we were just wanting to see and be a part of, you know, like, you know, all the games we've been to, when would we catch a foul ball ever? When would we see a no-hitter and things like that? So it was just the one opportunity that we had that was that close, and it just slipped through our fingers.
Yeah. John, thank you for the phone call. Ryan's in Logan Square. Hey, Ryan. Ryan?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you loud and clear now.
When I was following that game, the Bodie game in Orlando, on that day, our grandparents took all their descendants out to Disney World, and we staying at the same place that the NBA is staying right now.
You were in the bubble.
The bubble before it was the bubble. We were showing my grandparents pictures, like, look where LeBron is practicing. Do you see the border along that, like, ballroom? Because they put, like, the, you know, the courts and the ballrooms there. It was just so cool. But anyway, we were watching it there while we were in Orlando, and we went crazy, the whole family going crazy. Oh, it was so good. And then I was at the World Series, and it was amazing.
Of course, yeah. Ryan, thank you. We appreciate your phone call. And, like, that 18 team, was it, you know, they were struggling a lot of the, not struggling, but struggling for the Cubs. They lost the wild card game that year. And, like, every game was do or die. And that August Bodie game was so important. Josh in Park Ridge, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
Hey, so first and foremost, Sylvie, keep going, man. You're an inspiration.
That means a lot. Thank you, Josh.
All right, so anyway, I have two games in mind. One of them is the Bodie game, and it's kind of like going to be one of those games that I'm going to try to forget about just because I went to that game. I was on a date with a girl, and I did the one thing you're never supposed to do as a Cubs fan. We left in the ninth inning because I thought she was bored. So we get to the car. Turn on the radio and it's just like mayhem. So that's the one game that I wish I would kind of wish I never went to because I missed it. But
well, are you still was, with are you still with the girl?
No, that was kind of the final nail in the coffin.
Dang,
that's so not worth it.
You made me go to this. You made me leave this game. It's over.
But no, wait, I'm just kidding.
Josh? So you left the game because you were bored, but then you chose to throw the game back on the radio on the drive home?
No, I didn't want to leave. I thought she was bored, so I was, like, trying to be a nice guy. Like, but, yeah. But the other one I was going to say was, I think it was 2015. The Cubs were playing a Mother's Day game, and it was, like, an extra inning game, and Javi Baez hit a game-winning home run.
Yeah. I remember that. The pink. Everyone was wearing pink, right?
Yeah. So I was working at a movie theater. I was only like 20 years old, so I didn't really care about the job too much. So I ended up no calling into work because I wanted to stay for the Cubs game. So that was awesome.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks.
If you go on a date with somebody and you deem it that they're a big enough sports fan to take them into a game, you can't leave early.
Yeah, I think it's odd, too. If you sense that she's bored at the game, then you head to the car and you flip the game on the radio. It kind of defeats the purpose.
You can't leave. First of all, you can't leave games early because you never know what's going to happen.
And that's why you don't, like, appease somebody on a date.
Yeah.
You either decide, look, we're going. You're a big enough sports fan that we're going to stay. This is what I do. Or maybe she was bored with him.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why she looked bored. No offense.
I mean, you know.
You can't throw out the slight and then say, no offense. No offense intended.
No offense. Not that he was boring on the air, but they didn't stay together. That was the last, you know, straw, according to him. Maybe she just didn't like the company, and the game was fine. Cole Hamels did deal that game. 312-332-3776. A lot of you want to weigh in on this conversation. We'll continue to do that. Matt Nagy also spoke today, and today was the first day of something at Hallis Hall. We'll tell you about that a little bit later this hour.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
We were just discussing with the anniversary of the Bodie game. Any game of any team in town that you've been to a regular season game where you were excited that you were going to a game, and maybe it was even a big game going into it. Like, the Bodie game was an August playoff game on Sunday. Not a playoff game, but it had playoff implications down the stretch of a pennancy, a year that you're in the pennant race. And it's Sunday night baseball. So you think, hey, cool, I'm going to the game, and you leave saying, I can't believe I was at that game. There's another one, Abdallah, and I know you have something that you want to tell everyone, but do you remember the game that the Bulls stopped the Miami Heat record winning streak? I think it was 26 or 27 games.
Yes. Yeah.
I was at that game, and it was one of the loudest nights outside of the Dynasty that I heard the United Center, and it was awesome.
I remember watching that game on TV. I was not at that game, but I remember watching it. It was really good. And this portion of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit, available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
312-332-3776. Alex and Dyer, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, I was actually in Vegas with a bunch of friends and for a tournament. And we all gathered together at the sports book to recover from the last three nights. But my friend actually put a bet down on Scherzer, and even as a Cubs fan, I told him it's not a stupid bet.
Right.
But going into the ninth inning, he was all happy-go-lucky, thinking, I got to seal the deal. And one person gets on base, and the smile goes away a little bit. Then another person gets on base. Well, now it's kind of just a regular face. Third person on base, he's starting to get a little upset. Bodie comes up 0-2, thinking he's probably going to strike out, hits that bomb. You just see everything drain away from his face. The book erupts. Everybody's happy. Shots are starting to get bought. Everybody was just having a great time. So just a unique setting, and it was really cool to be there to see everybody excited to see him win.
Was he a Cubs fan?
Oh, no, he's a Sox fan.
All right, so he was. That's a terrible beat for him, then.
It was rough for him. So, yeah, it was fun, though. Even I was shocked, though. I told him, though, it was still a smart bet, but it was happy to see it, All his sarcasm and smart talk throughout the game go away.
Those games, Abdallah, those are other regular season games that you remember for different reasons. Is the bad beat game where a buddy has a bet down on something?
Oh, I've had so many bad beat games. I actually remember the replacement ref game between Seahawks I won money. Oh. I was on the other end. Everybody was like, this is such a bad beat. I'm like, or it's a great win. Depends on your perspective. I mean, come on. What about the winners here?
Yeah.
I mean.
Did Vegas give the money back to the people who lost that? Or
I don't think that was before there was legal gambling outside of Vegas. So there wasn't like make good money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you know how some of the DraftKings and the FanDuels will do gave everybody their money back because it was such a bad beat because they want the publicity of everybody saying, guess what DraftKings or FanDuel did? That was before then. So this was just some offshore stuff.
Eli in Rogers Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eli?
Hey, what's going on, boys? How are you?
We're great. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. So just a quick memory of the Bodie game before I get to the game I was actually at. So I was actually at a wedding on this night about 2 years ago. And the groom was a Cardinals fan, and he had a bunch of Cardinal buddies also at the wedding. And I'm sitting at my table, you know, during the meal, and I'm getting these crazy, crazy alerts on my phone, and just showing it to all the buddies around and watching their faces just drop was just priceless. So that was my memory of that. Just unbelievable. The actual game that I was at, though, so this goes back about 10 years. I believe it was the first Hawks championship season, so that must have been 09-10. So it was early on in the season, maybe like even the second home game. The Hawks were playing, I think, the Calgary Flames at the UC. And I think it was even Cristobal Huey who was starting that game back then, the goalie. And he just was horrible. He gave up, I think, like 5 goals in like the first period or something like that. A crazy amount of goals. They brought in Niemi and he wasn't able to help. But regardless, the Hawks were able to claw back. And I think it was Brent Seabrook who scored the OT winner.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back from a 5-goal deficit in that game. And I can't remember. I mean, you said the UC being loud for a Bulls. I can't remember for a regular season Hawks game the UC ever being louder. It was absolutely electric.
Eli, it was nuts because as a lifelong Blackhawks fan, I was at this game. I
swear to God, you were? How did you remember this?
I was at this game. Swear to God, I was at this game, and you can ask. I was with Chris Bleck and our buddy Matt.
Oh, I'm shocked. You were with Bleck.
And you can ask him. I said it. I go, the Blackhawks are coming back in this game. Watch it. The Blackhawks are coming back. And then it was 4-0. And then I'm like, I don't care. Of course, it turned into a bit of me just being like, I don't care, guys. They're coming back. We're not leaving. And of course, they came back. And it was like, yeah, it was awesome.
Shocking Abdallah doing a bit.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, my gosh. That's unreal. I was at the game with my dad and my brother. And I was like, oh, what a sucky game to pick to go to. And then, you know, they just score the first one and the second one. You're like, hey, they're not out of it yet. And they just clawing every single goal. You just felt the energy and momentum just coming back. Yeah, it was unreal.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, we had so much mojo going into that year because the Blackhawks that previous year took Detroit into the Western Conference Final. And we knew 10 would be good. 09-10 would be good. And then early on in that year, I'll never forget. I remember texting Waddle during the game. Hey, you know him. He's not watching. I'm texting him, turn the Hawks game on. So good story, Eli. Good couple of stories there. My buddy Jordan in Maryville. Long time no talk. Jordan, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Silver Man? How you feeling?
Good. Feel really good. Round 5 coming up on Friday.
That's good, man. I'm hoping the best for you.
Thank you.
Hey. The reason I was calling, I had two games. One of the games that I missed out on. The other one was the game I was at. The first one was Mark Burley's no-hitter. I went to go play golf instead. My buddy, he called me. He had free tickets to go to the game. His wife works for one of the vendors. I was like, nah, man, I'm going to go play golf. And I missed out on that. But I still, to this day, hate that I missed out on that game. That would have been a great one to be at.
That's the Dwayne Wise game too, right? The one exactly. You're talking to. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a better play in a no-hitter than Dwayne Wise's play.
Yeah. I was so mad about that, man. Of course, I go to the golf course. I probably shot a 150 or something. You know, who knows? You know, but I'm sure it wasn't worth missing the game, that's for sure. So, and the second one was, I know you guys are talking about regular season games, but I have to talk about this game. It was the Bulls' triple overtime game against the Celtics. I was at that game. You know, that's a game that, you know, it's hard to top. It's just one of the most exciting games. And I always call it that the Joakim Noah coming out game. You know, we all thought he was, you know, kind of a clown. And that game showed, you know, who he really was as a player. And, you know, that was a game that I'll never forget.
Yeah, weren't the Blackhawks playing at the same time as that game was going on? Because I remember leaving a Cubs game. I was at Wrigley. They're playing the Pirates, I believe.
Okay.
And I left to go to a bar to watch that game. Because I was like, this is going to overtime. Bye. I don't care about this regular season BS. And left to go see the Bulls. And I believe there was a Blackhawks game on at the same time that was, I don't know if it went to overtime, but it was close.
But they weren't that good then, the Hawks, were they? What year was that? 08? Was
maybe that? I'm wrong.
Yeah, you might be right. Because I think it was 09? Was it like Taves and Kane were in the playoffs for the first year? They got bounced by the Red Wings, remember, in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I don't think it was 09. I think it was the year before that. I think they lost to, that was one of the Vinny years where they lost in games to the Celtics. And
yes.
We still thought the Bulls, remember Derek was a rookie, so it was Derek's first year. And he set the scoring record in game one. And I want to say in that series, three or four games went into overtime. And there was a double overtime game before that one. So it was one of the best series outside of Jordan that I've ever seen the Bulls play. And they lost it, but it was just an incredible series. And that game I'll never forget.
It's funny because you mentioned the Hawks-Predators game, Sylvie, and how I didn't see that game live. The Bulls-Celtics triple overtime game, I was actually with my wife at a Broadway play. I was seeing South Pacific, and it was awful. So bad. I was watching my phone the entire show, waiting for the show to end, and it would not end. It was like a 3.5-hour show.
Oh, guess what?
What?
Lifelong Blackhawks fan was right. It was Blackhawks in Vancouver, and it was back and forth. They ended up losing that game 5-3.
What year was that?
2009, April 30th.
It was 2009.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
Lifelong
Black. I'm pissed at myself right now.
Blackhawks fan, Puck Dalla. That's right. What's up?
It's chemo break. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, thank you. I can cue the cap sound. He calls me chemo brain. My apologies, damn it. And I take pride in that sort of stuff because I got so drunk that night drinking scotch. Remember, I always tell the story I was supposed to go out, and I thought it wasn't going to go overtime, so I decided, before the game ends, I'll pour myself a starter. I'll have a scotch.
Oh, wow.
And then I just had to keep drinking every overtime.
I'm not gonna say that I didn't say this, but I did meet our good friend Harry Tynowitz at that bar, so I don't remember leaving that bar. I don't remember leaving it.
Yeah. Lots of tequila to be had that night.
Yeah.
And bad tequila at that. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Wilbon's fired up about college football as well. He does not like some of these teams who are asking to go against the Big Ten. So he's going to join us at 5 o'clock. A lot of good participation going on and a lot going on. Plus, Chuck Garfine talks about today's White Sox win.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/instantly.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Letting that one go a little longer, one of my favorites. Woj is some NBA news that came across here in the last half hour. Giannis, guys, has been suspended for the final game against the Wizards. He headbutted Mo Wagner yesterday. I don't know what he's doing or why. I know Mo Wagner can be a pest, but if you're the best player in the league...
Did they clinch already? Did they clinch the number one seed?
They did, but it's actually critical because... because the Bucks, their final game is against Memphis, and Memphis is trying to play in to that play-in game.
Yeah,
right.
It's critical to maybe he just wanted a break.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is for Memphis, this is huge because right now the Phoenix Suns and the Memphis Grizzlies are both tied in that 9 position.
I will have you know our NBA coverage is brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything, and by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And by the way, really quick, some good news for you, Abdallah. Mm-hmm. Adrian Griffin is going to be the head coach for Toronto, I just read.
For tonight, yeah.
Nick Nurse is letting him coach, you know, as a nice gesture. Hopefully the reason he's doing that is to showcase him to Mark Eversley and to Karnishevis and maybe talk Reinsdorf into saying, hey, look, he can be a good head coach and you shouldn't keep Jim Boylan. So take a look at this game tonight.
Oh, get used to Jim Boylan press conferences, guys. I'm just telling you. Just get used to it.
Kevin in Glenview, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kev.
How's it going? Sylvie, good luck on Friday. We're all pulling for you, man.
Thanks, Kev.
So one guy brought up earlier the Baez Mother's Day game, and that was the game I was at. That was a fun one. And people forget that Bryce Harper went like 0-for-0 with 5 walks, a couple of them intentional. And then Ryan Zimmerman could just never knock any of those guys on base in. So that was fun to watch.
That's when we could make fun of Washington. Those were the good old days. But now they've got the trophy.
Yeah, and then the other one, which was a Sunday night or Monday night game, couple years ago, the one and only start of Brian Mattis on the mound for the Cubs when they're playing the Mariners in interleague play.
Oh, yeah, Mariners, I know where this is going.
Nelson Cruz hits 2 bombs. They go up like 6-0. Cubs claw their way back. Travis Wood pitches, goes out to left field, makes the catch, comes back and pitches, I believe. And then the wild story of that game is pinch hitting John Lester to do a walk-off squeeze bunt. So that game was just electric on many levels.
Yeah, I'll never forget that game. And it was the argument that I always used and why I like extra innings, because you never know when you're going to see one of those special games where maneuvering can be fun. But and I was so mad that game, too. People were like all over me. Pissed at Theo and everything for starting that guy. But they came back to win. So great call. Thank you. James in L.A. James, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Sylvie, pulling for you here in Redondo Beach, man. Lost my father to cancer, so I know the struggles personally. And so happy to hear you so positive about your experience. Calling in
Thank
regards
you, James.
To
I appreciate
game
it.
Four, yeah. Calling in regards to game four, NLCS, my wife and I, my wife, not a baseball fan whatsoever, puts on a Cubs hat. I'm in my white shirt, jeans, just going, no incident, knowing that we're going to be sitting in 300 level, that we're probably going to get a little heckled. Walking right to our seats, Dodger fan stands up and says, "Hey, Cubs fan, it's going to be a long night. Hope you guys are ready for it." I'm thinking to myself, man, we just went two games scoreless. Lester's on the mound. This has got to happen. Been living in L.A. for about 5 years at this point. Missed a whole bunch of the Stanley Cups. And I thought, like, man, maybe this is the game. Maybe this is going to be the opportunity. And just sitting in that 300 level and just kind of getting heckled by all the Dodgers fans, it was, I would say, it was a pretty depressing moment until that fourth inning. And then they just broke open. And the next thing you know, they scored 7 runs. I'm standing up, going to go meet my friends down in the 100 level, you know, to go celebrate with some beers, and walking right by that that Dodgers fan in the 7th inning, hands in his face. I'm just like, "Hey, Dodgers fan, it's going to be a long night of us Cubs partying here in L.A., buddy." And needless to say, we went on to win that series, to go on to the World Series. I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, James, thanks. I remember, do you remember Meller or Abdallah, what the side story was on what awoke the bats?
I don't.
Was it? I mean, was Kershaw on the mound?
I don't know. He was on the mound for game. He may have been for this game. No, I don't think so, because I think he was on the mound for game 6.
Okay.
But this was, don't you remember the silly side story that Rizzo was in the slump?
Yes.
And then he borrowed Matt Caesar's bat?
Yes, I do.
And then he used Matt Caesar's bat the rest of the way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As sitting in this chair, I have to just say that's so cute. That's so cute.
Yeah, Waddle would tell we. I'm telling you, I don't know if we could have done the last hour with Waddle here without puking. He would have puked multiple times.
You know what? He would have stumbled into the thumb sound bites at some point in that chair.
You know it. And then he would have told us that he was at the Bengals game where it was really, really cold. Remember that? That's usually
the freezer game. Yeah,
the freezer ball, right.
Enough already.
So Wilbon's fired up. He's really mad at Nebraska and anybody else who doesn't like the Big Ten's decision.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
This is going to be really good. And we'll be back in 2 short minutes, thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.